97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Not just cautiously optimistic, but nauseously optimistic. The real focus now is on that blue wall in the Midwest. They knew that this was going to be a long night and that it was going to be a real nail biter, and it appears that that is exactly what we're looking at right now.
We've been saying for weeks, says O'Malley Dillon, quote, that this race might not be called tonight. Those of you who are around in 2020 know this well. What we do know is this race is not going to come into focus until the early morning hours.
Part of the objective of this email is to say to the people on the team, hang in there, guys. Like, it's not over. We're still getting votes in. We still need to keep talking to people, keep people in lines, tell your grandma it's going to be okay.
We now have an NBC News call in the first one, Joy. North Carolina called for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and so it was, you know,
we now have all the vote in Luzerne County. Donald Trump is going to win this by a little bit more than 21 points. 4 years ago, it was 14. We also saw him make those gains in Lackawanna County right next door earlier tonight. Democrats wanted more Trump, more of a Trump drop-off here. They don't get it in Lebanon County tonight. In 2020, Joe Biden won here by essentially 27 points. Sits at about 24 and a half.
Just take you back a week. I just wanted to take you back a week and listen to some of the media try to explain this away as state after state after state fell for Donald Trump. And we welcome in former State Senator John Lamping, who spent the evening down here on the air with Mark Reardon and did a great job for us that night. Mark, how are you? Or John, how are you? Sorry.
I'm doing great. Good morning. Well, clearly it was too big to rig.
Yeah.
And it's morning. It's morning in Missouri, but it's morning in America. And I, like the two of you, am thrilled with the outcome last Tuesday.
Yeah, kind of been floating on air since then, no doubt about it. You know, I didn't even venture to guess that it would be a 312 vote landslide, as some people did, including Mark Walters, who I'll have on next hour. But you know, there is a mandate here, and I just read the statistic earlier, and I think we're obviously well aware of it here. The abortion issue did much better than Kamala Harris did around the country. Wherever it was on the ballot, it outvoted Kamala Harris. People went and voted for abortion, but against Kamala Harris.
Well, we had a guest priest at my church on Sunday. He might as well be a political commentator. He was fantastic on both the election and this issue. And he described the outcome as that the country rejected socialism, having experienced it for the last 4 years, in particular during the COVID lockdowns. And we chose in favor of peace, prosperity, and freedom, which is a good message. And Americans are you know, inclined to be attracted to that message. But for the first time in decades, what was not in the Republican Party platform was any mention of right to life. And in this priest's mind, he feels as if the Republican Party has now cast aside right to life. It doesn't need it anymore. It, if anything, feels it's a liability. And when you think about here in Missouri, we had all of our statewide candidates. We had Josh Hawley of the U.S. Senate, and none of them actively campaigned against Amendment 3. So clearly, the Right to Life movement is on its own now. There's not a political party that wants to pick it up and carry that ball. Obviously, the Democrats are the worst of the two. But Republicans have decided that they're going to move on away from that issue. They don't need right to life anymore. And it feels as if right to life has gone the way of gay marriage and other liberal things that the Republican Party has ultimately accepted.
I understand why a lot of the Republicans wanted to steer clear of that issue, but it makes me sad. I'm frustrated that Mike Parson didn't speak out more on this, especially since it's not like he was running for re-election. He had nothing to lose by speaking out on that. I'm curious. Obviously, I know this is now enshrined into our state constitution, so it's not going to be a simple fix, even for lawmakers. Well, they can't do anything, but I'm wondering, is there any little thing that could be passed by lawmakers that might have an effect on this?
No, Kim, actually, there's some very big things that, and the path that the Right to Life movement will now pursue will be to go the way of defining the unborn child as an actual person. I think what Missouri should do is they should put a very simple ballot initiative in front of the people the next time we have a chance to vote. And the initiative would simply ask the basic question, is an unborn child a person? I think, can you imagine trying to organize a campaign against answering that question in the affirmative. Once that's been determined and enshrined in our Constitution, then simply we go to court to say that, you know, the equal protections under the law as offered to all of us citizens in the 14th Amendment are at odds with Missouri's Constitution, meaning we've defined the unborn child as a person, and then sitting in the same Constitution is this right to an abortion. And I think that's the path that Right to Life is going to go down. And I think it won't be just in Missouri. I think it'll be in other parts across the state. It's a long fight. You know, the fight against Roe v. Wade was 50 plus years. But I think that's the way to go. I think the idea of putting an anti-abortion measure back on the ballot, clearly the culture has moved, and a majority of people, if given the opportunity, will vote for abortion. I'm grateful for the fact that the amendment didn't pass in Florida, but it only didn't pass because the threshold was so high.
Right.
We're all fans of IP reform before this initiative came forward. But I would suggest we don't reform IP, and we simply ask the question, is an unborn child a person? And if the threshold is 50, I think we'll get well above 50.
Yeah.
And I think we go and fight this fight in the courts from there.
Didn't I hear it's around $9 million to get something on the ballot? And we'd have to wait another 4 years, right?
No, actually, no. The legislature can put anything they want on the ballot. It costs nothing. We're already paying them.
Yeah. They just pass it in the legislature. And if the governor signs it, it goes on the.
Okay, so we don't have to go through the same process that they went through to get this on the ballot. Okay, well, that's great news.
Yeah, it is. Hey, before we run out of time, John, I wanted to ask about the Justin Sparks challenging John Patterson as Speaker of the House. We're going to have Justin on the air here at the top of the hour in the next hour. How does the process work down there? I mean, they've already kind of decided on their leadership, haven't they, even though they haven't all voted on it?
Well, what they do is they kind of stage the speakership. So traditionally, whoever is elected to floor leader in his third term is the one that's in line to be the speaker in their fourth term. It's very much a rigged game. I would say the minute that someone walks into the Capitol as a freshman is when the lobbyists and the powers that be are trying to decide who's actually going to be the speaker at the end of their 8-year term. And I'd vote for Justin. I'm rooting for him to do well. I'd be shocked if he's successful. The system is so rigged, and primarily by the lobbyists that every speaker we've had has to run through that gauntlet of both fundraising from the lobbyists and then carrying enough of their legislation to get the approval that they would be allowed to be speaker. And so that's how it works. It's very much a rigged game. It's I have, with the exception of Tim Jones, I have very little time for what speakers have to say, because what they're mostly doing is juggling the lobbyists and the interests of those of us at home, and usually the lobbyists are the top priority.
Right. Yeah. I wondered what his odds are. I appreciate your thoughts on it there. And again, we're going to get to him here at about 7:22 this morning and get his thoughts on why he's running and what, if anything, we can do, and those of us who support him, to try to change the minds of some of the legislators down in Jeff City.
I'll be listening.
John, thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. Yeah, appreciate that. John Lamping there joining us. And yeah, he thinks it's a long shot. And it probably is, right?
Yeah.
Because they decide in advance who their leadership is going to be the next year. And the actual vote is sort of an afterthought, it seems like.
Get more at 971talk.com.